Hi, and a warm welcome to today's Mumma of Many podcast. I'm Christine Field, and I pray we will press in together and lay hold of everything that the Father has to say and impart to our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Kingdom living now. Let's go. Hi, and welcome to Mumma of Many, Christine Field Ministries. As the sun has set on the year, the Hebrew year 5785, and as it now rises on the new Jewish year 5786, the calendar that God gave to Israel, his people, to keep. What would the Lord say to us prophetically? As of Monday, the 22nd of September at sundown, 5786, the new year has begun. It overlaps with our Gregorian calendar 2025, 2026, and there is a divine invitation in 5786 to awaken, to ascend. Who can ascend the hill into the presence of the Lord? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. The Lord is calling his church at this time to be his purified bride and to arise and shine. It is time to be aware, to be alert and ahead prophetically. The Lord would say in 5786, we need to align. Right people, right place, right purpose, right time. To advance. And by that I saw twofold, that we will take territory, the new that the Lord has for us to move into. To move into and to take that territory for his glory and to take back ground from the enemy, ground that has been conceded to the enemy, whether it's in our families, in our lives, church, nations. It is time to ascend, awaken, arise, be aware, be alert, be ahead prophetically, to align and to advance in Jesus' name. I sense the Lord would say for 5786, and I'm going to roll through this today, there's a mandate for mercy, martyrs, miracles in the midst of mayhem. In the month of September, the Jewish month of Elul, I spoke prophetically. It was a month of mercy, of martyrs and of miracles. Oh, it pained me to put that word out. I fought it. It was one of the hardest messages I've ever delivered. And when I heard the terrible news, tragically, I wept. I shook on my bed at the horror of the reality of the martyr, the wonderful martyr I witnessed right before my eyes. The word martyr means witness. And what a witness for his Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, Charlie Kirk was. And I believe a prophetic picture. His very name, the Holy Spirit, led me to look up his name. I'm not going to go into this today. I may well go into it in another message because the Lord has spoken significantly just around that. But his very name means Charlie Freedom, a voice of freedom. A voice of freedom for the nation and for nations. And his surname, Kirk, get this, it means church. It's a wake-up call for the church to arise, for the lion within to awaken and to roar once more. No more are we to roll over like lambs, but we are to rise and we are to roar with the word of the Lord and to come into biblical correctness and come out of political correctness for such a time as this. We are in the decade of the pay. That means it's the number 80 in Hebrew, and it overlaps with our, when we went into our 20s, 2020s. Hebraically, it's the year, the decade of 5780s. Now, it matters what you say in the decade of the pay. Pay means mouth. What is the first thing that happened when we went into the decade of the 20s and of the pay? but we saw the suppression of freedom of speech, of breath, and of the mouth with face masks. That dirty devil trying to stop naturally what he cannot stop supernaturally. Voices being suppressed. Certainly, I know leaders, and from every direction, so many were coming at me to suppress the prophetic word, truth, and voice of the Lord. And my battle cry had to be, time will be the revealer of truth. And I've watched the Lord just bring all the truth to bear. Jesus is truth, and he wants us like never before as we come into the latter half now of the decade of the pay, the 2020s, the 5780s, that we are going to be those whose speech will align. God speaks, we repeat. And we're going to be people who stand for biblical truth at any cost and at any price. We say that we want to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Well, as has been brought back to me afresh, it means martyrs. It means those who will lay down what other people think of them, will lay down their opinions, will lay down their comforts, will lay down their popularity, and if it comes to it, will lay down their lives. Something the Lord showed me on my bed as I witnessed the incredible witness of Jesus Christ taken in an instant to heaven before our eyes. Just as Stephen in the early day church, as the Lord showed me, was the first blood martyr of the early church, so I believe Charlie Kirk is a battle cry and is a mantle has been released over his latter day church for such a time as this. And just as great fruit came from that martyrdom, that great orator that Stephen was, who could proclaim the word of God so eloquently in the same way that Charlie Kirk could, there was such great fruitfulness and such a great harvest of souls for the early church. So will there be a great harvest on the earth. I prophesy it through this great martyr of the latter-day church, Charlie Kirk, whose very name means Freedom Church. Arise, be the voice, fully alive in Christ. So I really believe that the Lord wants us to be those who are prepared at this time, a mandate for mercy. We need God's mercy. We are nothing without him. A mandate for the martyrs to arise and be prepared that even if it cost us our lives, we'd be willing to. But ultimately, it may cost our popularity. It may cost some discomfort. Well, let's be willing to pay the cost, to pay the price. Something that the Lord showed me, I started telling you, didn't I, on my bed when I watched Charlie Kirk taken to be with the Lord, but murdered so brutally in front of us. The Lord said to me, he'd already given his life, Christine. They didn't take it from him. In order for him to even go into those university campuses, to be that voice of debate over hate, he knew that where conversation stops, violence begins. The Lord showed me he was willing to lay down his life, and he'd already given it. And he gave his all for the call and cause. Well, I've made a fresh commitment, whatever the price, I give my life. Paul said, if I live, I live for the Lord. If I die, I die for the Lord. Whether I live or die, I belong to the Lord. What a place to be. That's living free. Didn't mean to labour that. Moving on, the Lord would say, before the rapture, there will be a rupture. In Romans 8 verse 19, we see that all creation aches, it waits, it's groaning for the sons and the daughters of God to arise. Now that word sons in the Greek isn't the word technon, which means little babies, little kids, but it's sons and daughters of maturity and in likeness to the parent. God wants us now to arise. I believe his mature church, his remnant bride, is going to arise. We are going to rise and roar. No longer are we going to be representing the lamb-like nature. Yes, that is in us, and there is a time for that. Christ came the first time as the Lamb of God, but we are preparing the way of the Lord, and for his second coming, he is coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and we are to prepare for him and be his roar. We are not to have suppression of speech anymore, but we are to speak the truth, the belt of truth firmly around our waist, and the mantle of the Holy Spirit, the double portion of the Holy Spirit upon his own has been released from his throne, and we will see it increasingly manifest miracles, signs, works, and wonders in the year 5786, as we see the rupturing all around on the earth, as we see the havoc and the confusion and the mayhem, well, we are also going to see the glory of God that is going to be revealed through his mature sons and daughters that are going to be caused to arise at this time. Beware and be aware. Stay in prayer and peace, not panic and despair. Beware of deception and distraction that will be everywhere. And the Lord has spoken that very clearly. So there is warning in this word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." Oil lamps back in old ancient biblical times were fastened to the sandals and to the ankles of the people as they would go about at night in the dark, in order to scare away the snakes, which is what they had the oil lamps for back in their day. We need the word of God to be the lamp to our feet. Why? Because the fire of God will be ablaze, and no snake, no demon from hell can stay where the fire of God is ablaze. And as the church, as we as his representatives arise with the fire of God clearly blazing through our lives, we're going to be that force to be reckoned with on the earth. Snakes cannot abide where the fire is. Light guides, a light leads in the dark, over the unknown, over the rough, the rugged terrain that is ahead. Where we're walking in these days, we've never walked before. The Lord spoke to me a number of years ago now when I was in his presence, and he had me go so low that I actually ended up right underneath our coffee table, under my knees. I thought, oh, please don't let anybody come through the door and see me here now like this. They'll think I've lost the plot. And then in that place, the Lord spoke to me as I thought, what am I doing right underneath? And the Holy Spirit was leading me to go as low as I could go in his presence. And the Lord spoke to me something I've never forgotten. I'm releasing for this year those who learn to hide in the secret place of my presence now will be safe when the time of trouble comes. So I release that over you. In Joshua 3:3-4, we read where Joshua gave orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant representing the presence of God, of the Lord your God, and the priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. The Lord would say, consecrate yourselves, verse 5, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. It's a time to set ourselves apart and to be prepared for the wonders and the works the Lord is going to bring to bear among us in this year, when there is going to be chaos and mayhem and rupturing everywhere. One, stay in the secret place. Stay in the bunker of his presence. Two, as we see here, wait on his orders and obey all the way. No matter how ridiculous it is, do the ridiculous to see the miraculous where you have to. Three, it's unknown territory in 5786, 2026, overlapping with our 2025 for a few months. Unknown territory and terrain ahead. Trust every step of the way, come what may. 5786, Hebraically. Number two, what does it mean prophetically? Number five means grace and favour. So we're in an era of God's grace and favour over the world at this time. Seven means completion, perfection and fullness. And I want that to be the prayer and cry of all of our hearts and lives for this year, that we're going to know God bringing his perfection and the fullness of his Spirit and his completion to our lives, that we are going to finish strong and finish well in all things. 8 means new beginnings. There are new beginnings ahead. Overflow. Live in his overflow. Anointing. Transcendence. We've got to be those who can rise above it all supernaturally, that who can live above it all. And miracles. And as I've already said, there's a mandate this year. It's going to be defined by miracles. It's going to be defined by the wonder-working power of our God. We, as God's children, the mark, hallmark over our lives, our brand identity, if you like, should be power. When Jesus, it says in Romans 1, verse 4, I believe it is, Jesus declared with power to be the Son of God when he rose again from the dead. It's time not just for words from the pulpit as well, but it's time for the works and the miracles and the wonders to follow those who believe. We will be defined to be the sons, true sons and daughters of God by power. That's the hallmark. That's the brand identity over our lives. Just as Gucci, I've said before, has their double G, we have the double portion power of the Spirit of God Almighty over our lives. That is the mark of a true believer in Jesus Christ in these days. Lord, let that be said of me, I pray, and you too listening today, in Jesus' name. So, number 6, let's get down to it. The Hebrew number 6, or Shesh, as it's known in Hebrew, is represented as the letter Vav in Hebrew, because the letter and the number in Hebrew is the same, unlike in our English language. Now, firstly, for the number 6, it means the number of man and beast. What would the Lord say to us prophetically on this? It represents the flesh life and the beast life, because anything outside of Christ, anything that is not crucified, there is no solution for our flesh life other than execution. So that's why we must be crucified with Christ to truly live. Then it's no longer you or I that lives, but Christ that lives in us. And then the life that we now live is the life of faith, the same faith that the Son of God had, who loved us and gave himself for us. Well, what did the Son of God have his faith in? The Holy Spirit in all things. Not in his humanness, but in the Spirit of God alone. And that's how the Lord wants us to live. Those who are sons of God will be led not by our fleshly desires, pulls, wants, beast-like natures, because that's what it is. I've seen it for what it is in me, and I abhor it. I detest it, and I say, Lord, I want my flesh life buried, dead, and then I want to rise in the new life of the Spirit of Christ within me, because that alone will be pleasing to our God at this time. We have a choice this year. It's a clear directive from heaven. Will you follow the dictates of the flesh and of the beast-like nature, or will you crucify your flesh, and will you arise and be a follower of the Spirit in all things and live according to the Spirit of God? It was on the 6th day of creation where God created man and beast. We can read in Genesis 1, verse 26, how God created humans in his image to fill the earth, to be fruitful, to multiply, to govern, to take dominion, to reflect his image. Those were our first instructions that were given to us. That was stolen from us. We reclaimed it through Jesus' death and resurrection from the cross, and the Holy Spirit poured out upon us. We have been reconnected to all the Lord has for us once more, and the Lord wants us to rise and rule again. Rise and rule, take dominion over that flesh, beast-like nature. Don't let your flesh be taking dominion and ruling over your soul, over your emotions, over your mind, over your will, and over your spirit. You know, don't let that subdue all that the Spirit wants to be released through you in Jesus' name this year. It also says in Isaiah 55, verse 6 to 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. I feel this is really prevalent this year because we are in this grace era. But I sense that that grace peg that we can read about in Isaiah 22, whenever that is taken out, whenever it's removed, then the grace, it will be no more. And whenever the church is taken up and that restraining, the restrainer is removed, then that grace, the Holy Spirit, will be removed with the church, is going to be absolute mayhem on the earth. We want to be those who are sending out the lifeline at this time, to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Our opinions, our ways of thinking, all that we have been taught, all of the wrong views and concepts coming at us, distracting, deceptions from every direction, forsake them, the Lord says. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways higher than our ways. If you need to fast and pray through, fast and pray through until the Lord changes you, and let his word and the Spirit do what only his word and the Spirit can do in you. It says, let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy. Oh, this mandate for mercy this year for martyrs to lay down our flesh life, our self life, and the mandate then for miracles that will be unleashed and released. He will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Look at the language. Wicked there in Hebrew and evil, it means those who follow the dictates of their heart. Isn't the world doing that now? I've done that, haven't I? Followed the dictates of my own heart. So I've been fasting and praying, and I love the abundance of the God's language for us, his mercy, his pardon, and all he has for us as we forsake our ways, the dictates of our hearts, and as we follow after his heart. Led, ruled, and walking after the Spirit, not the flesh. That's what we're being called to at this time. Secondly, pictorially, the letter and number 6, Vav, represents a nail, a hook, a peg, a hinge, a connector. The letter Vav, it actually means and or but. It's a connecting word. It's to connect. And I sense the Lord saying that just as a nail or a hook, you would hang things on a nail or on a hook. What have you been hanging your hopes, your expectations upon? We'll look at Isaiah 22 actually before the end of this message, because it's so strong prophetically. Because when that peg gets pulled out, hey, the only thing that we can stand and base our lives upon is Christ alone. You can't be hanging your hopes and expectations, even on a husband, on a wife, a career, on finances, jobs, on your pastors, on churches. Our trust has to be everything else dethroned and Christ alone on the throne. And that's what God is calling us to, a drawing and pulling away from every idol, that we pull and cast every idol down to the ground, and Christ alone takes his seat upon the throne of our hearts. His all in our lives and our all is going to be given to him alone. So divine aligning within this pictorially, the number 6, which is a picture of a nail, the hook, the peg, the hinge, the connector. And it's a divine aligning with his timing and alignments. Right people, as I said, right place, right purpose, right time. The letter Vav is a hook that connects words, ideas, and even worlds, I saw. So think free speech and debate is so key over hate. That as the enemy is increasingly trying to abandon and to put a tape around our mouth and prevent freedom of speech, certainly in the UK, well, thank God that a voice is rising and we're saying enough is enough, not on our watch, not in our day any longer, in Jesus' name and all in love, and to bring peace everywhere we go. Where conversation stops, as Charlie Kirk would say, that's where violence begins. Blessed are the peacemakers. But to have true peace, hey, I'm a mama of five, and because I love my kids, often to have peace, it didn't mean that I just rolled over. It meant that sometimes I had to bring the tough love in order that they could truly live a life of peace and not live a life that would be harmful for them. I had to bring some tough messages. That's what love does, and that's what the church needs to rise up and do increasingly in this hour, and God is going to unleash and release his power. The picture of the hinge, turning point, the Lord would say, in 2025-26, overlapping and into 5786. Doors turn on hinges. The Lord would say that we are going to see doors that have been previously closed now open up before us. Open up, you ancient gates. Open up ancient doors for such a time as this, by the word of the Lord, and release the glory of the Lord. And we close the door over our nations to evil, to darkness, to the enemy taking lives before their time, and we open the door for the word of the Lord to go forth in power, signs, works, wonders, and miracles, salvation springing up from the ground in Jesus' name like never before. What we open is open, what we close is closed. It's crossover time, it's prepare for impact, says the Lord, where heaven meets earth. You've been waiting for divine turnarounds, divine overturning. Well, this is the turning point. Connecting point, as we look to the cross, the Lord would say, count all else but loss. Earth and heaven collide. Divine collision time. Earth and heaven meet at the mercy seat. Oh, mercy, martyrs, miracles. We must stand united together to take the land, and then we divide the inheritance. We're crossing over now. It's crossover time into promised land. And what the enemy wants to do is to divide. He is disunifying at this time if he can. And we must guard the peace. Guard the unity in marriages, in families, in relationships, in churches, in leadership, in homes. It is so key for our victory. The Lord would say that if we disunify before we take the land, then we won't have an inheritance to divide. That's what the enemy is after, the blessing. Just as he came to steal the blessing, the first thing God gave Adam and Eve was he blessed them. The devil came to steal the authority and the blessing from us. This is our time to arise in his authority, his blessing, in his promised land. In the midst of mayhem going on in the world, we will possess his promises. So, regarding connection, in Jewish writings, the Talmud, it says that wherever the Vav, the number six, or the letter Vav is written, it also serves to add something that is not obvious. I sense that the Lord wants us to be aware, to be awake, to be alert. Also that the Lord is saying that he is going to bring fresh enlightenment and revelation to those who will be awake and who will be aware at this time, that we're not going to miss a thing that he has to reveal to us. Hidden truths in Daniel. It said, shut up the book, Daniel, because it's not for you to know, but there will be those in the last days, in their times, that I will reveal it to. That's you and that's me. And even that fly flying around me is not going to distract you or me from this word that the Lord has to deliver to us today, hey, in Jesus' name. So Very apt and prophetically from that fly. Don't let circumstances, don't allow concerns, worries, offences, distractions to disconnect you from all that the Lord has for you. Don't connect to distraction. Don't connect with that fly. Don't connect to deception. Don't connect to frustration, negative emotion, negativity, negative people. Connect and come continually to Jesus by faith with everything. It is key for you to overcome and to win. I found myself in a situation the other week where I was so distracted by a concern that I had, and I could have played out that concern and that disappointment in some of the responses I received from people who I expected would have just known and done and acted so differently and so much better. But instead of allowing offense to take me out, and instead of allowing it to eat me up all weekend, I came to a place on my knees by my bed. I prayed and I cried it out. I got the tissue roll from the bathroom and I travailed through like Elijah did, where he got down on all fours. It says he was in a birthing position. And I literally, by the time I'd finished praying, I felt the burden lift. I was completely free and I saw the miracle. I saw the release, the blessings for the people. I saw the divine turnaround. You are at a turning point as you turn to the Lord and you don't turn away from him and look to the confusion, to the distraction, to the situation that you're facing. Face him. And you're going to have your faith in him and you're going to win. That's a word for the Lord this year. The other picture is of a tent peg. And that peg that we see represented pictorially in the number 6, it represents enlargement like a tent peg. You stretch it out. We're going to go with a stretch this year. It's going to be what it's all about, stretching our faith. And within that, there's going to be increase, great growth, great harvest, great revival is coming, the Lord is saying. Within that stretch, the Lord says, increase and favor in the mayhem and in the stretch of faith. Isaiah 54, 1-4, those who have felt overlooked, passed over, you felt barren. Well, this is your time. You are about to see such increase and enlargement because God has found in you one faithful that he can trust. And those who have looked as though they were putting you down and were abounding, there's going to be a turnaround unless, and we pray that all will turn to the Lord by his grace, will seek his face. But ultimately, whoever has warred against you, whoever has tried to stop your voice of truth, the Lord is saying enough is enough. He's bringing his justice at this time. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore, Isaiah 54, verse 1-4, a child, burst into song, shout for joy, regardless of what you see going on in your circumstances and in the world around you. You who are never in labour, because more are the children of you who have felt desolate, of the desolate woman, than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Oh, put your stake in the ground. Put your stake of truth firmly in the ground. Put your stake of faith firmly in the ground. Put your stake of blessing. I am the blessed and highly favored of the Lord. No matter what is going on in this world, I am of his word. And you are going to see and take great territory and know only victory. It says, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. You, this is personal. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. Thirdly, today, the Lord would say to us, I believe, for this year 5, 7, 8, 6, that he wants us going in knowing the overflowing of the Holy Spirit in all things, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Interestingly, the sixth Spirit of God that we can read about in Isaiah 11, verse 2 is the Spirit of knowledge, that knowing. It's not talking about knowledge according to facts and according to worldly education and theory, theoretical knowledge, but it's talking about that intimate knowing as a husband would know a wife. It's talking about that understanding and knowledge to know what to do in each situation and in each circumstance. It's a meeting of heart and mind. And when those two collide and the Holy Spirit renews our minds, then the Holy Spirit can flow through us with the knowledge of the Holy Spirit in all things, that knowing intimately what pleases him, what are God's ways, what is God's will, what would God have us do in each circumstance. So it's that intimate knowing that will cause us to give of ourselves sacrificially above and beyond just facts. The rabbis will say that that knowledge refers to that sacrificial love that comes from knowing God, knowing him. And it ties in with what we see being outworked in our world right now. We need the Holy Spirit to give of our lives sacrificially, to be those witnesses, true witnesses, which means martyrs, to lay down our self-lives in order to rise in the spirit life of Christ. And I'm sure that message is coming through loud and clear in this download today. And fourthly, finally, and powerfully, here's the absolute power punch. This has been blowing me away. The Lord has been speaking to me much, and I said I would come back around to Isaiah 22 from the passage there. There is a dismantling and a remantling. There is a displacing and a replacing. What do I mean by that? There's a dismantling of timid, weak, popularity points, preaching and preachers, politically correct over biblically correct teaching, building monumental leadership for ourselves, for individuals as superstars, promoting position, ministries for ourselves, monumental, iconic in the terms of fame-driven, look-at-me mentality leadership. The Lord has spoken to my heart, you pray and weigh, that's gone with the wind. And the Spirit of the Lord has ushered in a new era, a new day has blown in. The shepherd needs to have the smell of the sheep on him. If not, he's not a true shepherd of God's sheep. The remantling is represented by, and I'm going to prove to you by the word of God and prophetically, the rebuilding of the house of David as God promised would happen in the last days. And in Amos 9, we actually see it would happen when Israel had been scattered to the nations and she was back in her land, when she was planting vineyards, when she was producing and flourishing again. Well, you'd have to be blind to not see those days are here and now. The rebuilding of the house of David. The house of David represents the one new man in Christ. In this year of number 6, which represents man, it can often have a negative connotation, can't it? With 666, the mark of the beast and man. But man that is surrendered and given over to the Spirit of God rather than the flesh man, rather than giving to our beast-like natures, the man surrendered to the Spirit of God or woman, that's a beautiful, good, wholesome, full and wonderful thing to behold. And that is what God is calling us to. And our completion, ultimate fullness is found in that one new man in Christ, which is Gentile and Jew complete. And we read about that in Ephesians 2:14 to 18. For time's sake, though, I just want to say that in the days where we're seeing again anti-Semitism increase, replacement theology within God's church, it's a doctrine of demons. We need to be alert to these deceptions and we need to stay well away and we need to be the voice of truth. But at that time when anti-Semitism is increasing, can't you see the devil raging and warring in the natural sinful man? But for God's spiritual man, he's calling the church to stand as one with her brother Israel, and for Israel to stand and to come and to embrace the church. God's agenda, Jew and Gentile, one new man in Christ. If your church will not align and stand with Israel at this time, beware the Lord does not remove your lampstand. The Gentile church is called to embrace your older brother and our foundation, Israel. Israel is called to embrace its younger brother. We call ourselves the church, but originally the early church was founded on just Jewish believers. They embraced us in. We must embrace one another, for the restoration of all things is at hand, and the Lord is bringing all together as one new man, the spiritual man in Christ, that we take our stand and we stand as one together under God. So had to just throw that in. But in this dismantling and remantling and all that the Lord is doing, let me just read to you from Isaiah 22. And I'm going to go first from verse 19. Yes, I will drive you out of office, says the Lord. And this is speaking to one of the high leaders of the day. The name was Shebna. And the Lord says, I will pull you down from your high position. There was a reason. It was because Shebna was setting up a monument for himself, a tomb for after he had gone, so his name would live on. And the Lord said, for that type of leadership, you've had your day. I'm replacing you. The Lord is showing us that day is done. We have the honour of lifting up one name, and his name is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And we lay down our lives. And then I will call my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, to replace you. I will dress him in your royal robes. I will put a belt around him and give him your title and your authority. That belt is the belt of truth that we are called to in these days to display all the way. And he will be a father to the people of Jerusalem and Judah. The Lord is calling that fatherly, motherly leadership that will call and cause others to go higher, further, faster. We're going to be the cheerleaders. There's no lengths I wouldn't go to for my own children. That's how the Lord wants us to love his children, to love his people, to lay down our lives for them. And I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. I don't know about you, but I've never put a key on my husband's shoulder for our house. I think he'd give me the weirdest look. Wonder what I was on. But what the Lord is showing here, yes, he's given us all authority. When you hold the keys, you hold the authority. The Lord is putting his mantle upon our shoulders. Just as Elijah gave and released the double portion mantle onto Elisha. But Elijah said to him, unless you see me when I'm taken, you will not have what you've desired. He had to, Elisha, keep his eyes on Elijah at all times. That's a picture of us as the church, the latter day church, keeping our eyes on Jesus at all times, not getting taken away by the distractions, the deceptions of these days, but keeping our focus on Jesus, his word, by the Holy Spirit and truth. And then the Lord is going to, wow, we're going to wear that mantle of authority and double portion power for this hour, for such a time as this. And it goes on and it says, we have the key. We have the mantle of the house of David that is being rebuilt at this time. It is the highest position in the royal court. When he opens doors, no one will be able to close them. When he closes doors, no one will be able to open them. He will bring honour to his family name, for I will drive him firmly in place like a nail in the wall. They will give him great responsibility, and he will bring honour to even the lowliest members of his family. How amazing is that? In this year of six, we are seeing, and that it represents pictorially the nail, the peg. The word here sometimes interchanges in scripture as for nail or for the peg. And that nail that has been put firmly in place, it's secure. The Lord is calling forth secure leaders, and no longer the insecure leaders that will lead by manipulation, will lead by intimidation, will lead by setting their own selves up for their own image and their own win. we've seen what the Lord is saying and doing with that at this time. It goes on and then it says, but the Lord of Heaven's armies also says, the time will come when I will pull out the nail that seems so firm. It will come out and fall to the ground. Everything it supports will fall with it. I, the Lord, have spoken. When everything falls, when tribulation comes, the Church of Jesus Christ, the Spirit-filled Bride of Christ, purified, will rise. And the time is coming when that nail, Jesus, when he was nailed to the cross, he ushered in his death and resurrection, the new era of grace. Well, the scriptures show us that the grace era will come to a close, and it's coming very rapidly to a close. We are in these days now where the Lord is wanting us to be about the harvest and to be about preparing as many as we can for the soon return of Jesus and to be ready when he comes. So in this dismantling and in this remantling, Isaiah 22 verse 19 to 25, when the Lord spoke that to me, I then couldn't believe when I saw, as we go into this year 5, 7, 8, 6, that the sixth church in Revelation was the church of Philadelphia. Philadelphia meaning brotherly love. And that sixth church, I believe the Lord is trying to get our attention, and he wants us to be drawing from this church. It was the only church in Revelation that Jesus never rebuked for their works or for their ways. And let's just read and see the mantle. This is the mantle of the house of David was given to this church. It's to you and me, following through prophetically from Isaiah 22. These things says he who is holy, Revelation 3, 7 to 13, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. Jesus gave to us that key and that mantle. He said for his church that he was building, the house of David that he is rebuilding on his terms and in his ways in these days, preparing his purified bride. He said, what we permit is permitted, what we do not permit is not permitted. What we open will be open, what we close will be closed in heaven and on earth. I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. Oh, haven't you felt like that? But you've kept my word. Oh, I've been right there. Lord, may I honour your word. May I honour your voice above all else. May I obey you. The Lord has been seeking throughout the earth for those who would humbly and in dependency be seeking to please him alone, not man pleases, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, maybe those who say they are Christians and they are not, we're going to know by their fruit, but they lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship God before you, to know that I have loved you. God is going to show his favour upon the lives of those who have stood strong in the face of adversity. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial and testing which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Wow, what a word the Lord is pouring into our hearts for this year. We're going to arise. We're going to align. We're going to be awake. We're going to be alert. We're going to be aware. And the Lord is going to meet us there. He is going to be with us every step of the way as we say yes to heaven, as we say, open up, Lord, those gates of heaven. Lord, open up those ancient doors and let now your glory be released and revealed for such a time as this, your works that have been designated and delegated for such a time as this. Are you ready to pray? Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you for this new year 5786. Lord, we thank you for all that you are calling us to. But Lord, more than anything else, that we arise anew. We arise in the power, in the authority, remantled with a double portion of your Spirit upon us, that you are rebuilding the house of David. You are rebuilding your church. You are rebuilding Israel. Lord, your terms, your way, and we give ourselves to you completely to obey, Lord, to follow you, Lord. Father, we say, have your way. Be glorified. Let Jesus be lifted up in every way, in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you in 5786.